So with all of the hubbub yesterday of learning new technology and live streaming our very first service, I forgot to record my message using our usual way, our podcast. And so I am recording this on Monday morning, just for the folks who still appreciate the podcast and use that to hear the messages when they're not able to be in service. And so here is the word that I received and that I offered yesterday morning during our first live stream worship. It's based on the gospel passage from the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, the story of the man born blind. And the name of my message is, We Want to See Jesus. It's been more than a few years now, but I had surgery on the same day my father died. To complicate matters, I was living on an island in Maine, and my parents were down in Florida. When my surgeon called to see how I was doing, you can imagine her surprise when my first question was, when can I get on an airplane? She was shocked until I told her the reason. Well, she begged me to wait another 48 hours before I tried to travel, not because of fear of re-injuring my wound, but because of my vulnerability to infection. Those 2 days were excruciating because I couldn't go anywhere. I was in physical and emotional pain, and I felt helpless. Maybe that sounds familiar to some of us right now. It felt like I couldn't do anything I wanted to do, and I felt dependent upon others to do the things I normally would have done for myself. It only got worse when I finally managed to get to the airport. You see, I knew I wouldn't be able to walk through security and from gate to gate without assistance, so I made sure there was a wheelchair waiting for me. And the airline and their staff were amazing. But the judgmental looks I received and comments I overheard from other travelers made me feel even more ashamed because my injury was hidden under my clothes. From the outside, I looked like a 30-something healthy woman, but on the inside, I had been cut up, sewn up, I was missing parts, and just aching in more ways than one. People thought I was lazy, or abusing the system, or they just plain wondered out loud, what's wrong with her? Not in a compassionate way. People respected the wheelchair. They made space to let us pass, and from a technical aspect, everything went smoothly. But for me, it was emotionally as well as physically exhausting. No one seemed to care about the person in the chair or the pain she was going through. They just wanted to know what had caused this anomaly. Well, in our story from the Gospel of John, Jesus encounters a man with a disability he's had since birth. But he responds to him in a much more holistic way. He doesn't ignore him, as many probably did at that time. We know that the blind man was a beggar, and beggars were often shunned. Think about the way we often treat the homeless on our streets. But Jesus doesn't judge him or the man's parents as the disciples did, as they were trying to figure out who was to blame for this man's blindness. Who can we point the finger at? Instead, Jesus sees the whole person. And in no time, he's made mud, albeit in a rather gross fashion, spread it on the man's eyes, and instructed him to wash. The man comes back able to see. But that sight continues to develop throughout the story because, as with many and most and maybe even all of Jesus' healing stories, it's not just about healing the physical. Jesus also healed the man's spiritual sight. As the story progresses, different folks, neighbors, and locals ask the man, "Who healed you?" At first, his reply is, "I don't know, the man they call Jesus, you know, some guy." But he doesn't know anything else about Jesus. He doesn't know where Jesus has gone. So they take him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees interrogate him, and the man's spiritual sight has revealed to him that Jesus must be a prophet, maybe like Moses or Elisha. You know, those guys healed too. Of course, the Pharisees don't accept that answer. So they go to the man's parents, but the poor couple is so terrified of being ostracized from their community, kicked out of their synagogue, that they point them right back to their son. So the Pharisees go back to the man whose spiritual sight has improved even more, because this time he teaches the Pharisees something about what comes from God. And surely a miraculous healing must be from God. And that gets the man kicked out. Now what? Well, if I had been that man, expelled from my church, denied by my neighbors out of their fear and need for self-preservation in the community, I would have sought out that miracle healer and asked him, now what? But he didn't need to, because Jesus found him. And the healing miracle is complete when the man is able to say, Lord, I believe. Have you ever felt like you weren't being seen by the people around you? As though people cared more about knowing the whys and what happens than they did about you as a person? I'll admit, I'm struggling through this time of worship with you right now because I can't see you. I miss seeing your reactions to the story, your questioning looks that tell me I need to try and explain something in a different way, your nods when an idea resonates with you and your frowns when we have differing opinions, your giggles at my silly jokes, your smiles when I tell you just how much God loves you. And I think all of us would really like to see Jesus right now, when we are afraid, when we feel alone, when we feel disconnected, when we sure could use some words of comfort and hope. And yet, Jesus is seeking us out. Jesus is all around us if we were willing to open our eyes. Jesus is in our neighbor who picked up the prescription for us last week, or in an unexpected card you received in the mail, or maybe the friend from church who called and commiserated and laughed with us. Jesus is in the blossoming spring all around us, in spring breezes that clean the air in our homes when we open the windows, in the water being revealed by the melting ice in our ponds and lakes, and the birds twittering up a storm in the trees all around us, no matter how early in the morning. Jesus is here with us as we worship. Jesus is here with us as you listen and reflect. We are the body divided in so many ways, but some of the things that kept us separated before seem so small now, don't they? When we used to complain about committee meetings, I wonder what many of us would give to be able to gather in a room with those beloved members of our faith community now. We know that Lent is a time of preparation, of introspection, a time to grow in our understanding of God through what we know of the life of Jesus, our Christ. But it's also a time to experience God and Jesus in new ways through the power of the Holy Spirit. I recently saw a meme that said, I wasn't planning on giving up this much for Lent. But what if this season was made for social distancing? What if this is an opportunity for us to see Jesus in one another? How might we be changed by this experience in a lasting way so that when the pandemic has passed, and my friends, it will pass, we can continue to see like the man who was born blind and be able to say with even more confidence, Lord, I believe. How will our newfound sight affect our actions, who we choose to follow, how we care for one another, how we connect? Jesus can see who we are, all of who we are, physically and spiritually. He knows where we need healing, and he knows where we need to grow and change. Maybe instead of looking at this as a time of giving up, we might consider this particular Lent as a time of giving it up to God, of letting go, so that we might be a blessing to each other by protecting each other and allowing God to have control over something which we cannot control. My friends, I miss your presence, but I encourage you to stay in touch, and I will try as well. In the spirit of the 23rd Psalm, may you be anointed with the oil of comfort, and may your cup of love be filled to overflowing. Amen.